Hi, Dave Emery here. This is For the Record program number 1183. Harvest Time Part 2, The Oswald Institute of Virology Part 2. This is being recorded on April 29th of the year 2021. Before I get into the title, several quick items. For about a year or so, the front page of the SpitfireList.com website was sort of messed up. There was a problem in securitizing the website. When that was done, there was an error. So the front page looked bizarre. That was corrected about 6 months ago. So if you listen and do not check the website and have not checked it because of that defect, that has in fact been corrected. Also, three items that are linked at the top of the SpitfireList.com website descriptions, both program descriptions and food for thought posts. The contributing editor to this website and program, who posts under the name of Pterofractyl, PTERARACTYL, is doing great work, and there is much, too much to fit into a one-hour broadcast or even the food for thought posts that I put on the front page. There is a link at the top of each program description and each article on which you can click to subscribe to the comments that are made not only by Pterofractyl but other intelligent and expert commentators. And I emphatically recommend that people do that. Again, at the top of each program description and each article, there is a link in that you can click on to subscribe to the WFMU podcast. Sister station WFMU is podcasting the For the Record programs, and if you would like to consume the program in that manner via podcast, there is a link to click on at the top of the SpitfireList.com descriptions, both the food for thought articles and the for the program descriptions. Also, so we'll be having clear in this program, I am extremely concerned, Biden's superficial, or frankly, I think superficial efforts at, rehabbing American society, as laudable as they may be in certain respects, are too little, too late. And I think the horse has basically escaped the barn. I am extremely concerned about the future, and I cannot stress strongly enough that I think it is a responsibility of every listener to this program who takes it seriously to get the 32 gigabyte flash drive with all of my 41 plus years worth of work on it, plus a Mimi library of old anti-fascist books. The flash drive is current as of, For the Record, 1156. And again, there is a link at the top of each program description and each article on which you can click and obtain that flash drive for a tax-deductible contribution of $65 or more. I do not get any money whatsoever from that, but please do get a hold of that flash drive and you will have all of my life's work, plus an invaluable mini library of old anti-fascist books, and that will be yours, for a very nominal tax deductible fee. Okay? Now, the title of the program, Harvest Time Part 2 and the Oswald Institute of Virology Part 2, alludes to, two concepts, one of them presented in For the Record 1174. That dealt with a number of overlapping things, including and especially the events of January 6th of 2021. I am of the opinion that the seeds that were sown in many cases the better part of a century ago, in some cases before, in some cases during, and in some cases in the immediate aftermath of the Second World War, have sprouted, and the harvest is now being, resulting harvest has been gathered, and we are now about to eat it raw, the harvest raw. We've spoken about many things, and in the context of bacteriological warfare and Project Paperclip, we have spoken at great length about the incorporation of many of both the Third Reich's and Imperial Japan's top military scientists, many of them war criminals of the First Order, and also their files into the U.S. military establishment at the end of World War II. Many of those had to do with biological warfare, Unit 731, the Imperial Japanese Biological Warfare Unit that we dealt with most recently in, for the record, 1171, 1172, and 1173 is paramount in that regard, in For the Record programs 11, 47, and 48, we dealt with the U.S. cover-up of Josef Mengele and his deliberate shielding. He was, of course, the angel of death of Auschwitz, and he was deliberately shielded by U.S. intelligence in 1946, and ultimately was spirited away to Paraguay, and still continued to do some work on behalf of U.S. intelligence, as we saw in that series. We have looked at many of the Third Reich's bacteriological warfare alumni. And for the record, 1123, we took a look at the fact that Leon Jaworski, later Watergate special prosecutor, Koreagate special prosecutor, a Warren Commission counsel, and part of the Texas Court of Inquiry that, quote, investigated, unquote, the assassination of JFK. And Leon Jaworski presided over the war crimes trial of the Third Reich bacteriological or Third Reich war criminals who were involved with lethal experiments on inmates at Dachau. When the trial was conducted, five of those inmates had already signed paperclip contracts with the U.S. By the way, Jaworski's co-chair of the Texas Court of Inquiry was Judge Robert Story, who, as Colonel Robert Story, helped to pass down the word at the Nuremberg trials that the denazification edict was to be relaxed. We have also looked at some very disturbing evidence that AIDS was deliberately created in the Congressional Record, the House Subcommittee for Defense Appropriations for fiscal year 1969 and 1970, has testimony from a Dr. MacArthur, who observed that because of the advances in genetic engineering, it will be possible to make a new infective microorganism against which there would be no immunity because it was a new organism. That is paraphrased. And then he said, second, and most importantly, is that it might be refractory to the immunological and therapeutic processes upon which we normally depend for our relative freedom from infectious disease. Essentially, the clinical description of AIDS years before the disease appeared. That project was funded, and lo and behold, within the next 5 to 10 years, a new infective microorganism against which people had no defense is, was in fact, on the scene and produced AIDS. And, we should note that, there are a number of very disturbing things in that regard. There was a hereditary immunity to infection by the AIDS virus that only was present in purebred Northern Europeans. That was a CCR5 Delta 32 allele. And again, only purebred Northern Europeans or, quote, Aryans, unquote, had that gene. It previously gave immunity to the Black Death in Europe. And we noted in our series dealing with AIDS as a biological warfare weapon, that bubonic plague, initially believed to have produced the Black Death, was in fact extensively investigated by the Third Reich as a biological warfare weapon. The man in charge of that research was Dr. Kurt Blohm, B-L-O-M-E. He reported directly to Reichsführer SS Heinrich Himmler. His research project was disguised as a cancer research facility. Obviously, an infectious disease that would only spare pure Northern Europeans, purebred Northern Europeans, or, quote, Aryans, unquote, would be of great interest to the Nazi SS. After the war, Dr. Kurt Blohm went to work for, drumroll fanfare, the U.S. Biological Warfare Research Program. We have noted in AFA 16, among other programs, as well as, for the record, 686, and for the record, 1115, that, in fact, the epicenter of early AIDS research in the U.S. was the National Cancer Institute's Special Viral Cancer Research Program. That was at Fort Detrick, and although part of Fort Detrick was turned over to the National Cancer Institute, in fact, it was maintained for the NCI's Special Viral Cancer Research Program or project by Litton Bionetics, formerly Bionetics Research Systems Incorporated. That was a wholly owned biotechnology subsidiary of Litton Industries, a major defense contractor, and also a significant front for many covert operations. The aforementioned Litton Bionetics had as its chief oncologist none other than Dr. Robert Gallo, arguably America's foremost AIDS researcher, and one of their major focal points, one of the major focal points of Litton Bionetics program was the Mason-Pfizer monkey virus, which destroyed the immune systems of primates. The cell culture for that program was largely maintained at the Oakland Naval Biosciences Laboratory, and many of the key people involved in the program were veterans, alumni of the U.S. Biological Warfare Program. When you take people like Blohm, like the other people that we've spoken about, Mengele, and when you take in the Dachau scientists, and people like Dr. Eric Traub, who also reported directly to Heinrich Himmler during World War II, and when you give them free rein, and then when you take people associated with Project Coast, the South African apartheid government's biological warfare program, and when you use them during the Cold War, as we looked at in For the Record 317, For the Record 1128, and other programs, you are planting seeds, and eventually you are going to harvest the crops that spring up from those seeds. We are doing that now. The second part of the title of the program, the Oswald Institute of Virology Part 2, is a reference to For the Record Program 1170, parts of which we will recap in this series of programs. We are going to be dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic, or OP, as I believe it can be pretty much ascertained to be at this point. And although the limited press coverage of accusations that the virus was made in a laboratory and then, quote, escaped, unquote, have focused on the Wuhan Institute of Virology that maintained China's only BSL-4 laboratory. As we have seen and as we will explore at much greater length in this series, the research that was ongoing at that laboratory was funded in large measure by Pentagon funding sources and also funding sources stemming from USAID. That is the United States Agency for International Development, a State Department subsidiary. That subsidiary is also has served as a major front for some of the nastiest of CIA covert operations in the past. I believe that the Wuhan Institute of Virology was set up to take the fall for the pandemic, very much like Lee Harvey Oswald was painted red. He was a U.S. intelligence operative, infiltrated first into the Soviet Union, then into he was ostensibly given a pro-Castro cover or legend in the U.S., actually associating mostly with anti-Castro Cubans. And then, having been framed as a commie, Oswald was then framed as the lone nut assassin of JFK and killed before he could defend himself. I think the Wuhan Institute of Virology could be conceptualized as the Oswald Institute of Virology. And the chief scientist who has had the albatross of biological warfare research hung around her is Dr. Shi Zhengli. That is I may be mispronouncing the name, probably am, capital S-H-I, last name capital Z-H-E-N-G-L-I. I think we could perhaps think of her as she, Harvey Oswald under the circumstances. When you allow these seeds to be planted, when you allow them to grow, eventually you have to harvest the crops, and the consumption of the food from those crops can be extremely distasteful, and that is what we are looking at now, in my opinion. And again, this will take at least two programs, perhaps more. We are also going to update various aspects of the COVID-19 pandemic. This also will be perhaps a little more repetitively pedantic than other programs. This is a very pedantic format that I use, and I think by way of emphasis, I'm going to repeat, perhaps excessively so for some people's taste, certain key passages. Now, we're going to begin by reviewing a very important article that really presents a concept that cannot be stressed too strongly. We are in a different, technologically and in terms of biological warfare, we are not in Kansas anymore. It is a new day with new technology, and I think in terms of even the sincere attempts at understanding a possible biological warfare origin of SARS-CoV-2, the fact of this new technology has largely escaped notice. Reviewing now from The Guardian of June 19th of 2018, an article by Ian Sample, capital S-A-M-P-L-E, Synthetic Biology Raises Risk of New Bioweapons, U.S. Report Warns. Ray reads in part, The rapid rise of synthetic biology, a futuristic field of science that seeks to master the machinery of life, has raised the risk of a new generation of bioweapons, according to a major U.S. report into the state of the art. Advances in the area mean that scientists now have the capability to recreate dangerous viruses from scratch, to make harmful bacteria more deadly, and to modify common microbes so that they churn out lethal toxins once they enter the body. And skipping down again. By the way, we are going to quote Michael Imperiali, chair of the committee that made the report, and a professor of microbiology and immunology at the University of Michigan. Skipping down. In the report, the scientists describe how synthetic biology, which gives researchers precision tools to manipulate living organisms, quote, enhances and expands, unquote, opportunities to create bioweapons. Skipping down again and quoting the aforementioned Michael Imperiali, today, the genetic code of almost any mammalian virus can be found online and synthesized. Quote, the technology to do this is available now, said Imperiali. Quote, it requires some expertise, but it is something that is relatively easy to do, and that is why it tops the list, unquote. One more time, and we're going to repeat this periodically at the risk of perhaps annoying some listeners. Today, the genetic code of almost any mammalian virus can be found online and synthesized. Quote, the technology to do this is available now, said Imperiali. Quote, it requires some expertise, but it's something that's relatively easy to do, and that is why it tops the list. And again, advances in the area mean that scientists now have the capability to recreate dangerous viruses from scratch, make harmful bacteria more deadly, and modify common microbes so that they churn out lethal toxins once they enter the body. And we are going to talk also more about Peter Daszak and his Eco Health Alliance. A very important article from the Organic Consumers Association from September 24th of last year, 2020. Xi Jingli, weaponizing coronaviruses with Pentagon funding at a Chinese military lab, unquote, by Alexis Baden-Mayer. That's capital B-A-D-E-N hyphen M-A-Y-E-R. We're going to talk at some length about this article, but the key element of discussion here is why bat-borne viruses are so deadly to human beings, and that in turn appears to be a major reason why Pentagon and DARPA attention has been focused on the researching bat-borne coronaviruses. And note, again, what was noted in that Guardian article from 2018, once the genome has been published online, it's Katie bar the door. So as we advance into this, frankly, terrifying, infuriating, and depressing subject material, when we see reports on various viruses authored by Xi Jingli, co-authored by Peter Daszak, or by Dr. Ralph Barrich of the University of North Carolina, other Pentagon funders, when we see these reports being published, that means that then those viruses can be mutated in any way in the laboratory. So this is something to be very, very careful of. Now, again, from the paper, Xi Jingli, weaponizing coronaviruses with Pentagon funding at a Chinese military lab by Alexis Baden-Mayer, excuse me, Organic Consumers Association, September 24th of 2020. Speaking of Xi Jingli, a Google Scholar search produced two papers she has published that lists DTRA as a funder. That is the Pentagon's Defense Threat Reduction Agency, DTRA. Again, a Google Scholar search produced two papers she has published that lists DTRA as a funder. To see how the first paper, quote, comparative analysis of bat genomes provides insight into the evolution of flight and immunity, unquote, is relevant to biological weaponry. It helps to understand the military's interest in bat immunity. As Boston University microbiologist Thomas Kepler explained to the Washington Post in 2018, the bat's unique approach to viral infection explains why viruses that transfer from bats to humans are so severe. This was the subject of a paper, quote, "The Egyptian Rousette, capital R-O-U-S-E-T-T-E, genome reveals unexpected features of bat antiviral immunity," unquote, that he published with military scientists and DPRA funding. And again, with any one of these papers, and we are going to be dealing with a whole slew of them in this series, remember that once the paper is published, once the genome is a matter of public record, it is caged by the door, because using the contemporary technology, they can be recreated from scratch or tweaked in any one of a number of ways. And even if they are benign to human beings, they can be altered to be really, really nasty. Continuing. "A virus that has co-evolved with the bat's antiviral system is completely out of its element in the human," Kepler said. "That is why it is so deadly. The human immune system is overwhelmed by the inflammatory response. The bat immune system responds very differently from ours to viral infection. Instead of attacking and killing an infected cell, which leads to a cascade of inflammatory responses, the bat immune system can starve the virus by turning down cellular metabolism." These last two paragraphs again, and we'll come back to this for emphasis. "A virus that has co-evolved with the bat's antiviral system is completely out of its element in the human," Kepler said. "That is why it is so deadly. The human immune system is overwhelmed by the inflammatory response. The bat immune system responds very differently from ours to viral infection. Instead of attacking and killing an infected cell, which leads to a cascade of inflammatory responses, the bat immune system can starve the virus by turning down cellular metabolism. The bat origin of SARS-CoV-2 may explain the cytokine storms that are hastening some COVID-19 deaths." According to WebMD, quote, "Certain kinds of cytokines trigger cell death. When you have many cells doing this at the same time, a lot of tissue can die. In COVID-19, that tissue is mostly in the lung. As the tissue breaks down, the walls of the lungs' tiny air sacs become leaky and fill with fluid, causing pneumonia and starving the blood of oxygen," unquote. Kepler says the military is using its experiments on bat immunity to, quote, "develop drugs that dampen down inflation and arrest the virus by depriving it of what it needs to grow rather than trying to kill it outright," unquote. But it clearly has another objective as well, to make viruses more deadly by passaging them through bats, unquote. A few of these paragraphs, again, we are going to come back to this. "A virus that has co-evolved with the bat's antiviral system is completely out of its element in the human," Kepler said. "That is why it is so deadly. The human immune system is overwhelmed by the inflammatory response. The bat immune system responds very differently from ours to viral infection. Instead of attacking and killing an infected cell, which leads to a cascade of inflammatory responses, the bat immune system can starve the virus by turning down cellular metabolism," and skipping down. Kepler says the military is using its experiments on bat immunity, quote, "to develop drugs that dampen down inflation and arrest the virus by depriving it of what it needs to grow rather than trying to kill it outright," unquote. But it clearly has another objective as well, to make viruses more deadly by passaging, unquote, them through bats. And again, once a paper has been published, and we're going to be looking at a lot of papers published by Xi Zhengli, oftentimes in combination with Peter Daszak, with Ralph Berich, funded by the Pentagon, funded by USAID, yes, coming out of the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and Xi Zhengli, or Xi Harvey Oswald, as I call her. But once the genome has been published, look out, baby. It's Katie bar the door. Then the weaponizers can go to town. There was a front, a cover story from New York Magazine of January 4th of this year, 2021. It is by Nicholson Baker, B-A-K-E-R. It deals with the lab leak hypothesis and again focuses almost entirely on Xi Zhengli, the Wuhan Institute of Virology, Ralph Berich, Peter Daszak, and some limited research done by a woman named Alima Chan, who focuses, again, on the laboratory, on Xi Zhengli, but doesn't really seem to have made the incorporative jump to looking at who finances this research. And then, once the papers have been published, what can be done with that, which is deadly. The article. The lab leak hypothesis. For decades, scientists have been hot-wiring viruses in hopes of preventing a pandemic, but not causing one. But what if? Now, again, this is, and I'm not pointing an accusing finger at Nicholson Baker, this is Modified Limited Hangout. Although liberal in scope, New York Magazine is mainstream journalism, and you're just not going to be able to go past a point if you want to get published there. And most of the article, again, focuses on the superficial China did it, but it escaped misinformation, in my opinion, albeit very understandable misinformation. But then in one of the last paragraphs, Nicholson Baker sort of comes back. It's like he has an O2 count on him at the plate. And then he puts the bat out there and laces a single clean base hit. SARS-2, that's SARS-CoV-2, seems almost perfectly calibrated to grab and ransack our breathing cells and choke the life out of them. Quote, by the time SARS-CoV-2 was first detected in late 2019, it was already pre-adapted to human transmission, unquote. Alima Chan and her co-authors have written, whereas SARS, when it first appeared in 2003, underwent, quote, numerous adapted mutations, unquote, before settling down. Perhaps viral nature hit a bullseye of airborne infectivity with almost no mutational drift, no period of accommodation and adjustment, or perhaps some lab worker somewhere, inspired by Berich's work, that's Ralph Berich, more about him later, with human airway tissue, took a spike protein that was specially groomed to colonize and fly deep in the ciliated mucosal tunnels of our inner core and cloned it onto some existing viral bat backbone. It could have happened in Wuhan, but because anyone can now print out a fully infectious clone of any sequence disease, it could have happened at Fort Detrick or in Texas or in Italy or in Rotterdam or in Wisconsin or in some other citadel of coronavirus inquiry. No conspiracy. He had to say that, or he wouldn't have gotten published. Just scientific ambition and the urge to take exciting risks and make new things and the fear of terrorism and the fear of getting sick. Plus, a whole lot of government money. And, you know, there may be a limited amount of truth to what he is saying. I have no doubt that a lot of the individual researchers involved with various aspects of the research that ultimately culminated in this deadly manifestation were, you know, they were trying to get ahead in life. You know, they want to be happy. You know, you make a, you publish a good paper, you get paid, and you get promoted, and you're able to earn a good living and provide for yourself and your family and so forth. But again, once the genome is published, bam, look out. One more time, some of the key aspects of this conclusion by Ralph, or by Baker, by Nicholson Baker, excuse me. Perhaps, actually, let me read the whole one. By the time SARS-CoV-2 was first detected in late 2019, it was already pre-adapted to human transmission, Alina Chan and her co-authors have written. Whereas SARS, when it first appeared in 2003, underwent, quote, numerous adapted mutations, unquote, before settling down. Perhaps viral nature hit a bullseye of airborne infectivity with almost no mutational drift, no period of accommodation and adjustment. Or perhaps some lab worker somewhere, inspired by Barrich's work with human airway tissue, took a spike protein that was specially groomed to colonize and fly deep in the ciliated mucosal tunnels of our inner core and cloned it onto some existing viral bat backbone. It could have happened in Wuhan, but because anyone can now print out, unquote, a fully infectious clone of any sequenced disease, that's the information we looked at in the June 19, 2018 Guardian article, it could also have happened at Fort Detrick, or in Texas, or in Italy, or in Rotterdam, or in Wisconsin, or in some other citadel of coronavirus inquiry. Yes, indeed, that is the point. Once it is published, once you can do the things that that Guardian article from 6/19/2018 pointed out can be done, once the genome of a mammalian virus is basically published, then you can go to town, and you can really go to town on that. Again, a very important contribution here, again, by Nicholson Baker, cover story of New York Magazine of January 4th of 2021. The lab leak hypothesis. For decades, scientists have been hotwiring viruses in hopes of preventing a pandemic, not causing one. But what if? Again, what if? And I think if, in fact, happened. Now, keep in mind what we have looked at. Keep in mind that key passage from the Alexis Baden-Mayer article that we're going to come back to from Organic Consumers 9/24/2020 about why bat-borne viruses are so deadly to humans, and correspondingly why the Pentagon has been so interested in those. Keep in mind the vital information in that article from The Guardian from June 19th of 2018 and the information in that New York Magazine article there. Once the genome has been published, KV bar the door. We're going to go back now, and in the light of what we have looked at, we're going to review key aspects of a very important article, consummately important. Much of her work is uneven, but Whitney Webb, that's a woman, in the Last American Vagabond blog of January 30th of 2020, Bats, Gene Editing and Bioweapons. Recent DARPA experiments raise concerns amid coronavirus outbreak, by Whitney Webb. And keeping in mind what we've looked at as to why bat-borne viruses are so deadly to humans, and correspondingly why the Pentagon has been so interested in them, keeping in mind that once the genome is published, you can tweak it, as that Guardian article has pointed out, and keep in mind that very important near conclusion by Nicholson Baker. In the Whitney Webb article, we read about Pentagon research into coronaviruses. The Pentagon's Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, or DARPA, began spending millions on such research in 2018, and some of those Pentagon-funded studies were conducted at known U.S. military bioweapons labs bordering China, and resulted in the discovery of dozens of new coronavirus strains as recently as last April. Furthermore, the ties of the Pentagon's main biodefense lab to a virology institute in Wuhan, China, that is the Wuhan Institute of Virology, or as I call it, the Oswald Institute of Virology, where the current outbreak is believed to have begun, have been unreported in English language media thus far. For instance, DARPA spent $10 million on one project in 2018, quote, to unravel the complex causes of bat-borne viruses that have recently made the jump to humans, causing concern among global health officials. Another research backed by both DARPA and NIH saw researchers at Colorado State University examine the coronavirus that causes Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, or MERS, in bats and camels, quote, to understand the role of these hosts in transmitting disease to humans. For instance, one study conducted in southern China in 2018 resulted in the discovery of 89 new, quote, novel bat coronavirus, unquote, strains that use the same receptor as the coronavirus known as Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, or MERS. That study was jointly funded by the Chinese government's Ministry of Science and Technology, USAID, an organization long alleged to be a front for U.S. intelligence, and the U.S. National Institute of Health, which has collaborated with both the CIA and the Pentagon on infectious disease and bioweapons research. And again, bear in mind, as the Guardian article pointed out, today the genetic code of almost any mammalian virus can be found online and synthesized. Quote, the technology to do this is available now, said Imperiale. It requires some expertise, but it is something that is relatively easy to do, and that is why it tops the list, unquote. Continuing with the Whitney Webb article from The Last American Vagabond of January 30th, 2020. One of those Pentagon studies focused on bat-borne zoonotic disease emergence in Western Asia, unquote, and involved the Lugar Center in Georgia, identified by former Georgian government officials. By the way, that's Georgia as in the former Soviet Union, not as in the U.S. Beginning again, one of these studies focused on bat-borne zoonotic disease emergence in Western Asia, unquote, and involved the Lugar Center in Georgia, identified by former Georgian government officials, the Russian government, and independent investigative journalist Vilyana Gaitzenjeva, G-A-Y-T-A-N-D-Z-H-I-E-V-A, as a covert U.S. bioweapons lab. Another U.S. government-funded study that discovered still more strains of novel bat coronavirus, unquote, was published just last year. Titled Discovery and Characterization of Novel Bat Coronavirus Lineages from Kazakhstan, unquote, focused on, quote, the bat fauna of Central Asia, which linked China to Eastern Europe, unquote, and the novel bat coronavirus lineages discovered during the study were found to be, quote, closely related to bat coronaviruses from China, France, Spain, and South Africa, suggesting that co-circulation of coronaviruses is common in multiple bat species with overlapping geographical distributions. In other words, the coronaviruses discovered in this study were identified in bat populations that migrate between China and Kazakhstan, among other countries, and that is is closely related to bat coronaviruses in several countries, including China. And again, it is very important to bear in mind in that regard what is in the article from the Organic Consumers Association about bats. Again, a virus that we're reading now from the Alexis Bob Mayer article. We're going to come back to this again. A virus that has co-evolved with the bat's antiviral system is completely out of its element in the human, Kepler said. That is why it is so deadly. The human immune system is overwhelmed by the inflammatory response. The bat immune system responds very differently from ours to viral infection. Instead of attacking and killing an infected cell, which leads to a cascade of inflammatory responses, the bat immune system can starve the virus by turning down cellular metabolism, skipping down. Kepler says the military is using its experiments on bat immunity, quote, to develop drugs that dampen down inflation and arrest the virus by depriving it of what it needs to grow rather than trying to kill it outright, unquote. But it clearly has another objective as well, to make viruses more deadly by, quote, passaging them through bats. And, by the way, as Mr. King observed in the book Gene Wars by Charles Piller, an awful lot of offensive research that the Pentagon is doing in the BW is being masked as defensive vaccine research. That was, I believe, a gentleman named Jonathan King. That will be in the written description for the show. Now, back to the Whitney Webb article and the networking of Chinese research facilities in Wuhan with Fort Detrick and with the Pentagon. USAMRII, the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases at Fort Detrick. And it was closed down in early 2019 by the CDC for safety violations involving unnamed select agents, unquote, that were redacted due to national security concerns. The USAMRII's problematic record of safety at such facilities is of particular concern in light of the recent coronavirus outbreak in China. As this report will soon reveal, this is because USAMRIIB has a decades-old and close partnership with the University of Wuhan's Institute of Medical Virology, which is located in the epicenter of the current outbreak. Duke University is also jointly partnered with China's Wuhan University, which is based in the city where the current coronavirus outbreak began, which resulted in the opening of the China-based Duke Kunshan University, or DKU, in 2018. Notably, China's Wuhan University, in addition to its partnership with Duke, also includes a multi-lab institute of medical virology that has worked closely with the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute for Infectious Diseases since the 1980s, according to its website. And there has been a lot of discussion about anti-Asian racism in the wake of the COVID-19 outbreak. And we're going to take a look at some genetic research that was done. And I think the anti-Asian racism that is implicit in the research that we're going to look at is something to bear in mind. Back to the Whitney Webb article. Since the Pentagon began, quote, redesigning, unquote, its policies and research towards a long war, unquote, with Russia and China, the Russian military has accused the U.S. military of harvesting DNA from Russians as part of a covert bioweapon program, a charge that the Pentagon has adamantly denied. Major General Igor Kirillov, the head of the Russian military's Radiation, Chemical, and Biological Protection Unit, who made these claims, also asserted that the U.S. was developing such weapons in close proximity to Russian and Chinese borders. China has also accused the U.S. military of harvesting DNA from Chinese citizens with ill intentions, such as when 200,000 Chinese farmers were used in 12 genetic experiments without informed consent. Those experiments had been conducted by Harvard researchers as part of a U.S. government funded project. And Rachel, we're going to take a look at the ACE2 protein to which the spike protein of SARS-CoV-2 binds to create infection. It apparently is present to a larger extent in the lung tissue of people of South Asian genetic heritage. And one of the most terrifying possibilities concerns gene drive technology, which the Pentagon is researching. And one of the fears that I have, not a statement I'm making, but a fear that I have perhaps about some of the vaccines, is that they may involve gene drive incorporations as well. The same concerns can be, I think, reflected on against the background of the research we're talking about in these articles. Back to the Whitney Webb article. Concerns about Pentagon experiments with biological weapons have garnered renewed media attention, particularly after it was revealed in 2017 that DARPA was the top funder of the controversial gene drive technology, which has the power to permanently alter the genetics of entire populations while targeting others for extinction. At least two of DARPA's studies using this controversial technology were classified and, quote, focused on the potential military application of gene drive technology and use of gene drives in agriculture, according to media reports. The revelation came after an organization called the EPC Group obtained over 1,000 emails on the military's interest in the technology as part of a Freedom of Information Act request. Co-director of the EPC group, Jim Thomas, said that this technology may be used as a biological weapon. Quote, gene drives are a powerful and dangerous new technology, and potential biological weapons could have disastrous impacts on peace, food security, and the environment, especially if misused. The fact that gene drive development is now being primarily funded and structured by the U.S. military raises alarming questions about this entire field. One more time. The fact that gene drive development is now being primarily funded and structured by the U.S. military raises alarming questions about this entire field. And think about the anti-Asian racism that is present in the following. In addition, one preliminary study on the coronavirus responsible for the current outbreak found that the receptor angiotensin-converting enzyme 2, or ACE2, is not only the same as that used by the SARS coronavirus, but that East Asians present a much higher ratio of lung cells that express that receptor than the other ethnicities, Caucasian and African American, included in the study. One more time. In addition, one preliminary study on the coronavirus responsible for the current outbreak found that the receptor angiotensin-converting enzyme 2, or ACE2, is not only the same as that used by the SARS coronavirus, but that East Asians present a much higher ratio of lung cells that express that receptor than the other ethnicities, Caucasian and African American, included in the study. The U.S. Air Force published a document entitled Biotechnology, Genetically Engineered Pathogens, which contains the following passage. The JASEN group, composed of academic scientists, served as technical advisors to the U.S. government. Their study generated six broad classes of genetically engineered pathogens that could pose serious threats to society. These include but are not limited to binary biological weapons, designer genes, gene therapy as a weapon, stealth viruses, host-swapping diseases, and designer diseases. And about the Insect Allies program. The most recent example of this involved DARPA's Insect Allies program, which officially, quote, aims to protect the U.S. agricultural food supply by delivering protected genes to plants via insects, which are responsible for the transmission of most plant viruses, unquote, and to ensure, quote, food security in the event of a major threat, unquote, according to both DARPA and media reports. However, a group of well-respected independent scientists revealed in a scathing analysis of the program that, far from a defensive research project, the Insect Allies program was aimed at creating and delivering, quote, a new class of biological weapon, unquote. The scientists, writing in the journal Science and led by Richard Guy Rees from the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Biology in Germany, warned that DARPA's program, quote, which uses insects as the vehicle for a horizontal genetic alteration agents, quote, revealed an intention to develop a means of delivery of HEGAAS as for offensive purposes. One more time. The scientists, writing in the journal Science and led by Richard Guy Rees from the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Biology in Germany, warned that the DARPA's program, which uses insects as the vehicle for horizontal environmental genetic alteration agents, or HEGAAS, revealed, quote, an intention to develop a means of delivery of HEGAAS for offensive purposes. And then the dual use ostensibly to prevent pandemics, but as I have noted, perhaps to cause them. Many of these recent research projects are related to DARPA's Preventing Emerging Pathogenic Threats, or PREEMPT program. We're going to come back to this in discussion of the Oswald Institute of Virology, Peter Daszak's EcoHealth Alliance, and many of the research projects that we are going to be looking at, and the papers that have been published and which would then serve as the foundation for the alteration of those viruses for God knows what. Many of these recent research projects are related to DARPA's Preventing Emerging Pathogenic Threats, or PREEMPT program, which was officially announced in April of 2018. PREEMPT focuses specifically on animal reservoirs of disease, specifically bats, and DARPA even noted in its press release in the program that it, quote, is aware of biosafety and biosecurity insensitivities that could arise, quote, due to the nature of the research. In addition, while both DARPA's PREEMPT program and the Pentagon's open interest in bats as bioweapons were announced in 2018, the U.S. military, specifically the Department of Defense's Cooperative Threat Reduction Program, began funding research involving bats and deadly pathogens, including the coronaviruses MERS and SARS, a year prior in 2017. And note the following. Many of the companies that were involved with the DARPA research were also selected to develop the vaccines, including one familiar name. And this is January 30th of last year, 2020. The second pharmaceutical company that was selected by CEPI to develop a vaccine for the new coronavirus is Moderna Incorporated, which will develop a vaccine for the novel coronavirus of concern in collaboration with the U.S. National Institutes of Health, and which will be funded entirely by CEPI. The vaccine in question, as opposed to Inovio's DNA vaccine, will be a messenger RNA or mRNA vaccine. Though different than a DNA vaccine, mRNA vaccines still use genetic material, quote, to direct the body's cells to produce intracellular, membrane, or secreted proteins, unquote. Moderna's mRNA treatments, including its mRNA vaccines, were largely developed using a $25 million grant from DARPA, and it often touts its strategic alliance with DARPA in press releases. And concluding, the very companies recently chosen to develop a vaccine to combat the coronavirus outbreak are themselves strategic allies of DARPA. For instance, The top funders of Inovio Pharmaceuticals include both DARPA and the Pentagon's Defense Threat Reduction Agency, or DTRA, and the company has received millions of dollars in grants from DARPA, including a $54 million grant to develop a vaccine for Ebola. Are we having fun yet? Well, we are out of time. We are going to come back to this, and we will deliberately overlap the discussion in our next program in this series with the material presented just now. However, we are all out of time. This concludes For the Record program number 1183, Harvest Time Part 2, the Oswald Institute of Virology Part 2. This is being recorded on April 29th of 2021. I'm Dave Avery. Have fun.